Praise God. Let's all stand. We're going to look over into the book of Mark. Chapter 11. Today is Palm Sunday. And on Palm Sunday, what do? We look back at what is known as the triumphant entry. Yeah, the triumphant entry of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Jesus rode into Jerusalem. And let's read that word. Mark chapter 11, verses 1, it says, "Now when they drew near to Jerusalem," that means they were on a journey, right? They were on a what? All right. "When they drew near to Jerusalem, to Bethpage at Bethany, at the Mount of Olives, he sent" how many? "Two of his disciples." There is power in agreement. You see that? How many? Two. There's power. This is living proof that we shouldn't do life alone. When we isolate ourselves, bad things happen. Can I say that again? When you isolate yourself, bad things happen. Most times when people get depressed, what happens to them? They're isolated. And isolation leads also to depression. Loneliness leads to anxiety and depression because you're all alone. There's no one there to speak a good word. No one to speak a word of encouragement. No one to tell you, you're going to make it through. Nobody to say, don't give up now. Now is not time to give up. Now it's time to believe more than ever. Somebody say, two is better than one. Amen. And live by that principle. Live by that principle. We are people that are made for companionship. We are made for friendship. We are made for fellowship. Amen? With God first, but with each other. If not, we would have been in church. The church would not have existed if fellowship was not vital, not optional. If fellowship was not vital. If fellowship was not of utmost importance. Fellowship is important. Jesus called us what? Friends. Hello? What'd he call you? What'd he call you? Look at your neighbor and say, you're a friend of God. Tell him, you are a friend of God. High five somebody and say, I am a friend of God. Hallelujah. Come on, somebody needs to praise God right there. Musicians, you're friends of God. You're a friend of God, Brother Rabbit? Yes, sir. We're all friends of God. Amen. So now we send how many of them? How many? Two of them. And he said to them, go into the village opposite you, and as soon as you have entered it, what you will find? You'll find a colt tied on which no one has sat. How many? No one has sat. Loose it and bring it. And if anyone says to you, why are you doing this? Say, the Lord has need of it. And immediately he will send it to you. Amen. Let's just pray. Father, we thank you for this word. We thank you right now, God, for speaking to us. I pray, God, you'll encourage our hearts. You'll build us up. You will strengthen us, oh God. You would, oh God, just refresh us in your presence. I pray before we have left, we would have been encouraged, built up, and strengthened and empowered to live an overcoming life in the name of Jesus. And we give you all the glory, the praise, and the thanks in Jesus' name. You may be seated. Amen. So now we see Jesus is on his way to Jerusalem. Now, the journey did not start here. The journey to Jerusalem began the chapter before, when Jesus was heading up to Jerusalem. So he didn't just wake up and say, you know what? I'm going to get into Jerusalem, go untie the donkey, and let's go. No, it was a journey. I want to encourage someone this morning that life is a journey. Life is a journey. And the journey can be long, and the journey can be rough, and the journey can be trying, and the journey can be full of turns and thistles. But I want to let you know that greater is he that is in you. The overcomer lives on the inside of you. No weapon formed against you shall prosper. And every tongue that rise up in judgment, I tear it down and you condemn it. Because that is the heritage. Somebody say heritage. heritage means that is the benefit of the servant of God. That is, though, my God, the privilege of those who are called. So life is a journey. Church life is a journey. Church life is a journey. We shouldn't look at our spiritual life as an overnight thing. No, it is a journey from getting saved to every other day that you breathe until you go to heaven. You will have ups, you will have downs, you're going to fall out, you're going to fall in, just like family. Because now all you did was switch kingdoms. You came from the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of light. It's the same people. Hello? We don't come and worship with angels. If we worship with angels, we would have been so comfortable because angels would have ministered to us. They would have hugged us. They would embrace us. Because he said, I will have my angels to give charge. Lest you dash, put your foot against a stone or you dash your foot against a stone. He said, my ministering angels will come and minister to you. He said to them in Exodus 32, he said, the Lord said to them, Moses, I will send my angel ahead of you and he will defeat all your enemies. So it would have been great and good. But we're on a journey. And sometimes it gets tough. And sometimes it gets hard. So as Jesus was going up, I just want to take you back now to 32. And chapter 9, verse 32, it says, now chapter 10, rather, 32, it says, now they were on the road going up to Jerusalem. And Jesus was going before them. Where he was? Before them. And they were amazed. And as they followed, they were also afraid. They were amazed and they were afraid. You ever felt two sets of emotion at the same time? Something good just happened and right after that you get bad news. Like this morning, we were heading to church, already get ready. Then as soon as the phone rang, we dropped on our knees and started crying out to God because we got bad news. One of our nieces, she's only 2 months old. She fell off the bed. And she hit her head. Fractured skull. We're excited to come to church. Looking forward to being here with the people of God. But then what happened? Bad news came in. What did we do? Drop our knees. Begin to cry out to God. Begin to beg for mercy. Begin to ask for his intervention. Because he promised he will never leave us. Nor would he forsake us. But he will be with us. And if he is with us, we got to see his work. We got to see the manifest power of God. God is not with us for a puppy show. He said, I will live among you. And I want to work around you. To as many as receive him, to them he gives what? Power. So now they were afraid and they were amazed. And as they followed, they were amazed. Then he took the 12 aside and began to tell them the things that would happen. Behold, we are going to Jerusalem. Now he's telling them. Now mind you, he pulled the 12. And the Son of Man will be what? Betrayed. To the chief priests and to the scribes. And they will condemn him to death and deliver him to the Gentiles. But look what is happening here. Jesus is on his way to be crucified. They didn't have to drag him. He said, the word says that he led them. He led them. Imagine he's going to his so-called demise. He is going to a tough season in his life. The roughest season, not a tough season. The most embarrassing time of his life. And he's young. He's only about 33 years old. And he's on his way to be killed, marred, scourged, mocked. And what he did, he kept walking. He kept ticking. He knew he was going to get a beating, but he kept ticking. He knew he was going to be put to shame. He knew his beard was going to be plucked. But what he did, he kept moving. Life is a journey. Do not give up. Do not stop. Come alive today in your spirit. Know who it is. The reason Jesus was able to do what he was able to do was because he had the power of the Holy Ghost living on the inside of him. He was baptized with the Holy Spirit. And he was empowered. And he was obedient to the Father. And he kept on walking. No, he didn't just keep on walking. He was walking with his betrayer. That's what sticks out to me more than anything. He was walking. And when he pulled the 12 included the one that would betray him. Tell somebody, you got to learn to live with your enemies. Hey, tell them, you got to learn to live with your enemies. What did Jesus say? This was the picture he was telling us. Love your enemies. Imagine you know the person will betray you and you're with them and you're still leading him and you're still caring for him, and if he needed a miracle, you would still give him the miracle. But what he did, he didn't let what was ahead bring him down. No, he knew the bigger purpose. You see, we got to start living with the big picture in mind. Sometimes we live in a little box. We live in the little box. And on the right is your kids giving trouble. On your left is your spouse frustrating you. In front of you is you hate your job. At the back of you is the devil chasing you. And when you look, that's all you're seeing. And some of you got some more complicated, but that's some simple stuff. But we forget to look up. We forget to look up. It says, set not your mind. It says, set your mind on things above, not things on the earth. The trouble is on the earth. The devil is not King of Kings and Lord of Lords. He is only the God of this world. But the God that you serve is able to do exceedingly, abundantly above you could ever ask, think, or imagine. Somebody needs to keep their focus on God. What Jesus did when he got all God, he got tired and he got frustrated. He went and he said, Father, if it's possible, take the cup. But because of the posture of his heart, he said, nevertheless, not my will, but your will be done. I wonder who this morning is sitting here and you want to live life your way and you want to do life your way. God is saying, it is not your will. My will is better, because I know the plans I have for you. I know the end that I've written in the book for you. I know what I am cooking up on the back burner for you. Eyes have not seen, ears have not heard, nor has it entered the mind that what God has prepared for those who would what? Love him. Those who would love him. Mighty God. So he said to them, go find the donkey. It's a journey. He didn't tell him, go and find a horse. If he had told him, go and find a horse, would have represented victory. It would have represented war. It would have represented strength as man knows it. You see, sometimes man looks at the outside, but God looks way down deep inside. We look for things that look great. We look for nice lights. We look for a nice big screen. Because what? Man looks at the outside. We look for chariots. We look for military might. We look for riches and honor. But God says, my ways are not your ways. He said he would take the foolish things or the simple things of the world to bring to naught those that are high and those that are mighty. When Paul went into Athens, Oh, how they love wisdom and how they love knowledge. The Bible says they sat around all day to hear something new. I wonder who it is that has an itching ear this morning. God is telling you that he never changes truth, never changes word, is never compromised. You don't need no new age teaching. You don't need no new age doctrines. You don't need no other doctrine. Stick to the truth. Jesus is the way. Jesus is the truth. Jesus is the life. There is only one way. And it is Jesus. So he said, get the donkey. Now he didn't even tell him get the donkey. He told him get the colt. And as we try to think of the colt, you know, I got to confess this. When we were little, in Guyana, we call the colt filly. I don't know if anyone else call him filly. But mighty God, how we used to try to ride them. Because we were little and we couldn't manage the big donkey. The donkey would kick us. But the little one, man, people would bring their little filly to graze in your yard, right? Let me take you to country life. They look to see if you have grass in your yard, and they come and they ask, can I put the donkey to graze? That way they don't have to go cut grass. So they bring the donkey, and you're glad for the donkey because you know what the donkey is doing? He's weeding for you. Can somebody say amen? Anybody come from country? Anybody ever seen a donkey? If not, we'll book a trip for you to the zoo. You've got to experience them. And they're so nice and cute. So guess what we try to do? Ride the little donkey. So we try and try. So that's my confession. Now, he says, get the colt that no one has ever sat on. He did not say, get me a donkey that carried burdens, that worked. No, what Jesus was trying to paint a picture for them, that it was time to open the new covenant. The filly or the colt represents new life, a transition, an open door. Just like it opened a woman, it came out, an opening of something brand new. Jesus was not coming to continue the old, but he was going to be the remission and the ransom for our sin. He was going into Jerusalem to pay the price for us, that we may come into the grace of God. Freshness was coming. A new system was coming. The new covenant. But the people didn't realize that. When Jesus rode into Jerusalem, what happened? It said, many took their clothes off and they spread it. Look at verse 6. Let's see what it says. It says, and they spoke to them just as Jesus had commanded them. I want to stick a pin here and show you this. The victory is in the following. Your victory will be in your ability to follow. When they went for the colt, Jesus gave them instruction. And he says to them, if any man asks you, just tell him, the Lord had need of him. Who had need? The Lord. So guess what the guys did? They left Jesus, the two of them, and they went, verse 6. And they spoke to them, how? All right, we got to follow. They spoke to them just as Jesus had commanded. Remember when the servant came to the Lord? He said, Lord, you don't have to come with me. All you got to do is say the word. And the Bible says, in that same moment, healing took place as Jesus spoke the word. We got to learn to live according to the words of Christ. We have to, if the book says to do it, we got to do it. You know, I saw something last night and, you know, they said, I saw a reels, and the reels said, how come they say Christianity is man-made? Anyone ever heard that? Christianity is man-made? Follow me here. But this book tells you to do everything contrary to what you want to do. How is it man-made? If it was man-made, it would have taught you how to satisfy your flesh and satisfy your mind. But this book works against every pleasure we desire. This book cuts you up when you read it. Anybody ever read the Bible? Can you guys like say a fake amen? Or say a real amen then. Amen. Right. So if you're just visiting for the first time, Pastor uses a lot of sarcasm. Right? But this book goes against everything we want to do. That's to show it is not from this world. All scriptures are given by God, and it's profitable for us. Amen? So Jesus said to them, go say the Lord had need of it. They went, and when the man asked them, why you loosen the donkey, what they said? The Lord had need for it. I want the church to begin living by what the word of God says. Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceed or comes forth from God's mouth. Who's going to begin doing that this week? Begin living according to the word of God. You hinge your life. Let me tell you, every other thing will sink. Every other thing will sink. Every other promise. My promise will fail. You know, many times I tell people I'm going to do this, do that, and I don't get to it. Hello? Please don't hold it against me. I didn't mean to do it. Who do you stand on? The word of God. So they went out, they said, Jesus had need. And what happened? As a result, they got the colt. We have to be able to follow what God says. And if we're going to be great in the kingdom, we have to be followers. Then they brought the colt to Jesus and threw their clothes on it. And he sat on it. And many spread their clothes on the road, and others cut down leafy branches from the tree and spread them on the road, or what we know as Palm Sunday. That's how we get the name. They cut palms, and they were waving the palms. Now, in Hebrew culture or Jewish culture, whenever they wave palm branches, is a sign of victory. It is a sign of victory. So that's why it is called the triumphant entry. Now, they're excited. They put their clothes on the ground. I ain't putting my clothes for nobody to ride on. If it's Jesus, yeah. But other than that, you and your donkey can go in the dirt. But they were so excited because, you know what? They were anticipating victory. Now, they weren't anticipating spiritual victory. They were anticipating that Jesus would go into Jerusalem and set up a throne and sit on the throne of David and change the political temperature of Israel. Continue. Then those who went before and those who followed cried out saying, Hosanna! Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. So now, when I look at this, I always thought that Hosanna was just a word of worship and adoration. You know what the word Hosanna means? It's a cry for help. It means rescue us. Hosanna means rescue us. We need to be saved. We are in a bad place. We need salvation. And it's part of that word was also translated, and it gets to the word Yeshua, which brings us salvation. So they weren't celebrating as we would think when you hear the word Hosanna. We picture everyone just only jubilating. No, they were crying out, save us, Lord. Have mercy. We need a change. We are being oppressed. We're going through a tough time. Because you know what they were having? They were under the rule of Rome. They were under the pressure of Herod. Herod was not for the people. Herod was set up by Rome. So they were pressuring and extortioning what's happening. Why do you think they hate tax collectors? Because they would overcharge them on their taxes. So the people were under pressure. But they saw Jesus riding in. And they said, oh, wow,
Here comes the breakthrough we were seeking. Here comes our opportunity to get set up. Here comes our opportunity to get our king back. Because what they said next, blessed is the kingdom of our father David. Blessed is the kingdom of our father David that comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. So the next time you sing Hosanna, sing with understanding. You're singing, only you can rescue us. Only you can deliver us. Only you can make a way for us. So we know the promise. The promise says, God had said to David that he would have an eternal kingdom. To his kingdom there shall be no end. So they were in anticipation of the kingdom being reestablished. But what God was about to do was greater than any of them could have understood. God was getting ready to establish his kingdom in the earth. Jesus said, for behold, the kingdom is near. What was the kingdom Jesus was going to go establish? He was coming to establish God's reign in the earth, not the reign of a man. They thought that the kingdom of David would have been fulfilled with a man, but yes, that man was the God-man, Jesus Christ. It was not just another person, but God said in the fullness of time, send forth Christ to become our payment and become our king and become our Lord. Jesus was about a greater purpose. Even though the burden was heavy, he marched into Jerusalem ready to fulfill what God sent him to do, to restore him, to restore the kingdom of Israel, not in the physical sense, but in the spiritual sense. So they were crying and they were saying, rescue us. But could you imagine, as Jesus sat on the colt, he probably said, oh man, these folks are looking for earthly things. Their minds are set on earthly things. Remember what John and James said? Right in chapter 10, they say, Lord, when you come in your kingdom, can you put one of us on the right and one on the left? Even the disciples were looking for him to establish the kingdom. But God was about to do what he had promised in the book of Joel. He was about to do what he promised in Isaiah 53. Let's go over to Isaiah 53. And we're going to look there and see what it is that kept Jesus. What it is that kept him marching towards the promise. What it is that kept him leading the people into Jerusalem, even though he knew he would be betrayed and he would have been killed. When you look back over in Mark, it said that he was going to go. Mark chapter 10, we were reading. He said that he was going to go. He's going to be turned over to the Gentiles. He's going to be mocked. He's going to be scourged. He's going to be spit upon. And he's going to be killed. He's going to be what? Killed. Now, no one wants to be mocked. Let me see who likes mocking. If your kid tease you, you're ready to tear them apart. Who you think you're talking to? And nobody wants to be scourged. If you think of the word scourge, scourge speaks of extreme pain. Extreme pain. And we know Jesus went on the cross and he endured for us. Let's look in Isaiah 53. And we're going to look at let's read from verse 3. He is despised and rejected by men. A man of what? Sorrows and acquainted with grief. And we hid, as it were, our faces from him. He was despised and we did not esteem him. But look what happened now. Surely he has what? Borne, or he has carried our griefs. Surely he has carried our grief. A man of sorrow and acquainted with grief. And we hid. I got despised. He was despised and we did not esteem him. For surely he has borne our grief and he carried our sorrows. Yet we esteemed him what? Stricken. We esteemed him stricken, smitten by God, and afflicted. He was wounded for our transgression. He was bruised for our iniquity. The chastisement of our peace was upon him. And by his what? Stripes. We were what? So as Jesus was going into Jerusalem, what he saw was exactly this. He was going to go and pay for our peace. Our soundness of mind was ahead of him. Without the peace of God, we are not kept stable. Without the peace of God, we're tossed to and fro. You ever seen a person that is unstable? People that are unstable in their mind? The Bible says the peace of God passes all understanding. It passes all understanding. It doesn't matter what it is. Everybody is saying, man, you should be frustrated. You should be this, you should be that. But yet you're kept at ease because what? Jesus paid for your peace. He was stricken or scourged when he was battered and bruised. He knew he was going towards that, but he kept moving because what? He saw that the kingdom of God was coming to the Gentiles, not only to the Jews, but it was coming to all the people of the world. When he said, I must go to Samaria, he was not going to the Jews. No, he went to a strange woman and he said to her, salvation, yes, is of the Jews, but guess what? It's every flesh. God is looking for true worshipers everywhere. Everywhere. Every flesh shall behold him. And he said to the disciples, I've got sheep that you do not know. I have food to eat that you don't know. Amen? He came so that we may have peace. He took all of our grief. 53 verse 4. He took your grief. Whatever you're going through right now, he's calling and he's saying, cast your cares upon me because I care for you. Give me your troubles. Give me your sorrow. Give me your pain. Those things that are eating away at your peace, hand them over to me. Amen? Hand them over to me. I paid the price. I was scourged for you. I was embarrassed for you. So what kept him going? It was you and I on his mind. It was you and I on his mind. His mind, he was not looking towards becoming the king of the Jews. He was looking to become the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. His mind, he said, I must be busy about my Father's business. John 3:16 says, for God so loved the world. That is what kept him, even though he knew he was going to be betrayed. But everybody's celebrating. You know, only you know what's really going on. While everybody's partying and everybody's rejoicing, something is just eating away at your mind. And you're just reflecting. You're sitting in the party. You're sitting at that birthday celebration. You're sitting at the wedding. And you're probably saying, oh, everybody's having a good time, but nobody knows what I am going through. I want to tell you today that Jesus knows all about your troubles. He know what it is. Man looks at the outside. God sees your heart. God sees your pain. And what took him to Jerusalem? It's not a throne. It is not the praise of man, but it was to glorify the Father that his children, the prodigals, may come home. That is what made the entry triumphant. It was you and I on his mind. So it says he led them into Jerusalem. But the word of God says we have eyes and we're not able to see. We have ears, but we can't hear. Some of us, we're going to hear this message and it will mean nothing to us. Yet the person, you go home with that person and they say, hey, you heard what Pastor preached? You're like, yeah, I did. What did he say again? And you're like, yeah, you're talking about Jesus. But for some, you will hear the voice of God talking to you. You will feel the embrace of the Spirit of God. I want to tell you, if you hear His voice, do not harden your heart. If you hear His call, open up and say, "Here I am, Lord. You can use me. You can save me. You can wash me in your blood, because I was on your mind as you went into Jerusalem." Now is when you can wave palm branches. When you receive the kingdom that He was bringing. He wasn't coming to set up a kingdom in Jerusalem. No, He was coming. He was riding that donkey, opening the new covenant that He may ride into every heart and ride into every mind and change and transform lives and make us more like Him. And He will pour His Spirit upon us that He may unlock all that heaven has, that He will unlock our fellowship, that He may unlock the friendship. Mighty God. When He rode into Jerusalem, you were on His mind. Every head bow and every eyes closed. They were looking at the outside. They were saying, here comes our King. Here comes the kingdom we were waiting on. Here comes the rescue we were looking for. But no, He was coming to establish the new kingdom. The new kingdom. And He was bold about it. And He let them in. He went into Jerusalem and then He went right into the temple. And He began cleansing the temple. He says, "My house shall be called a house of prayer for all nations. But you have made it into a den of thieves." So you have made it into a house of merchandise. God is all about hearing the voice of His people. God is all about fellowship with His children. Jesus rode into Jerusalem not to please man, but to please the Father. That you and I may be brought into relationship with Him. Let's all stand today. Hallelujah. You've heard this word today. I pray God would minister to you. And He would encourage your heart and He would strengthen you. And if you're here and you have not made that decision to follow Him. The reason for Easter, the reason for Palm Sunday is to get you and I in a relationship with the Lord. Jesus did not come to condemn us, but He came that the world might be saved. For God did not send His Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world, through Him, might be saved. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Oh, we worship you, God. Right where you are, just begin talking to Him. Whatever you walked in this room with this morning, I want you to take a moment and unload. He paid the price for your sin. He paid the price for your grief. Your healing was purchased at the cross. Your peace was purchased at the cross. Won't you just receive that healing today? Receive that peace of mind. Give Him what is hurting this morning. He said, "Come unto me and I will give you rest. Take my yoke, learn of me. My yoke is easy and my burden is light." Lord, I would ask that you would just touch hearts and touch minds today. I pray you'll move through this room. Move through this room, Lord. Let the peace of God just flow today. Flow, Holy Ghost. Flow, Holy Ghost. Flow like only you can. Flow, work like only you can work. We surrender to you this morning. We surrender our hearts and our minds to you. Won't you just take full control? Breathe, lead, and direct us. Those that are brokenhearted today, you paid the price that we may have your joy. You paid the price that we might be healed, body, soul, and spirit. Body, soul, and spirit, God.